exalt him. You know, that's our Heavenly Father. And if there's any one thing you need to do is to exalt him if you want his blessings. Okay. He demands that love and attention and requests that you follow him. Open your Bibles if you would. Let's just take the subject exalting him to Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2, we're going to stay primarily right in the book of Isaiah today. We're going to start off here concerning the end times, concerning now. And chapter 2, verse 1, the great book of Isaiah, with that word of wisdom from our Father, and it reads, "The word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem." Of course, this is all the tribes, including the tribes that were taken captive, went over the Caucasus Mountains, later were called Caucasians then, settled in Europe, many of them later come into this nation. They're included within that, basically the Christian people of this world. So this is written to you, verse 2. "And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it." Why is that? Well, because there's a King of Kings and a Lord of Lords. There's only one. And he's going to set his kingdom up in Jerusalem, as it is written throughout the Word of God. And through that thousand-year reign of the millennium, all people are going to flood to it. What? To learn God's Word. Not so much to learn the Word, because if you ask a neighbor then, they're going to know the Word in that spiritual body. But it's discipline. Discipline in love and understanding and in following our Father. Verse 3, "And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of God of Jacob, the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." Why? Because he's there. Okay. And what is the word? It is the law. It is the word of God. Christ became the living, the word in flesh, and he walked among us, bringing us that word, showing us the way, the water. And that way is the path that you're supposed to follow if you want his blessings. You've got free will. You can take whichever path you choose. But it's always a lot better to take his path. That way, you have his blessings. And his blessings make life just a whole bunch easier. 4, "And he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." And of course, this documents that Christ has returned at the second advent. He's in charge in Jerusalem. And when the house of Jacob is mentioned, that is the natural seed of Israel. In other words, it means all tribes. Okay. You don't have to mention the house of Judah and the house of Israel because the two are separate now. The house of Israel is separate from the house of Judah. But and this has to do with the destiny in the end times. But when it is mentioned, it refers to all. And what it's saying is that when Christ returns, there's going to be order according to our Father. And he will correct people. Just as if you as one of God's elect, he'll thump your gourd today if you get out of line a little bit. He gets your attention. He lets you know when things don't go too good and everything kind of is going south when it should be going north or vice versa. That's his way of saying, do you hear me? Okay. Now that is if you have a destiny, all right, if you love him. But there will be no war during the millennium. At the end of the millennium, God will fight our war for us. Okay, you don't have to worry about it. Verse 5, "O house of Jacob, come ye and let us walk in the light of the Lord." Always be in that light. Okay, you reflect that light. Do you understand that when you reflect that light, that you're a blessing to your community? I mean, some old boy or girl is having a bad day. And when you reflect that light, just your very presence with Christ in you picks them up. Because they feel that light. They feel that presence. They feel that hope and that knowledge. It makes a big difference. You've been around people when all they got to do is walk into a room and things pick up because they're there. But not so much because they're there, but because Christ, the way, the light, is in them. And the eye mirrors the soul. And that light reflects and picks people up and brings that peace of mind. What a witness one of God's servants are when they have their voltage turned up, spiritually speaking. Verse 6. Therefore thou hast forsaken thy people, the house of Jacob, because, why? Because they be replenished from the east and are soothsayers like the Philistines, and they please themselves in the children of strangers. In other words, God's a little discouraged with those that have left His way and listened to other religions. Here He refers to the religions of the East. Not Christian, okay? He's not happy with that. And He's not happy at all with it. And he considers it that you've gone the way of strangers or the infidel. And when you have Him, you have the blessings. You have the peace of mind. No more war with Him, the real thing. That is to say, when He arrives at the second advent. But even today, you want to be careful. Jesus told us in Mark 13, hey, in the end times, there's many going to be coming, claiming to be in My name. In other words, they claim to be Christian preachers. They claim to have the Word of God. But Christ said, don't you listen to them if they don't quote from the book. Okay? If it's not My Word. Because just because somebody claims to be, if you haven't checked them out in the Word of God, you don't know. And that could set you up for a heap of trouble. Well, how could I ever tell? Prove it in the Word of God. God will never send someone with a message that isn't written and recorded in the Holy Word of God. Okay? If somebody brings you a message that isn't written here, like flyaway doctrine and that sort of stuff, that's not in God's Word, it's wrong. It's yours to deal with, however you choose to deal with it. But God is very displeased with people that need the light and go the way of false teaching. Verse 7, their land also is full of silver and gold, neither is there any end to their treasures. Their land is also full of horses, neither is there any end to their chariots, their strongest army in the world. Okay. And you know, I can't help always reading this verse. I think of the great song of Moses in Deuteronomy 32, where God called Israel the old good time Charlie name, okay, Jezreel. Okay, it's a play on words in the Hebrew manuscripts. Good time Charlie, good times you forget about me, is what God says. But this is what happens, you know. And when people think it's real hard and when it's real tough, they need to kind of take inventory. How far are you away from God? Do you have His blessings? Okay. Or has He put holes in your bucket? It can happen either way. That's up to you. Your choice. Verse 8. Their land also is full of idols. They worship the work of their own hands, that which their own fingers have made. You know, a lot of people, they do. They build a work, and they consider the work a building. The work is not the building, it's the people inside. Have they been taught? Are they familiar with the Word of God? Will they make a stand for God, or will the Antichrist deceive them? That's when you know whether you have a work of God or not. That's when you know whether you're truly following the Word of God if you have a destiny. Men have many idols. Well, what is an idol? An idol is anything you put before God. Many times it can even be a business if you're not careful. Now, you want to pay attention to your business and you want it to be successful, but don't ever cut God out of the equation, or you're headed for trouble. Okay? He likes to have a part in what you do. He likes to be consulted. Well, he's your father, and naturally, he cares. But people build things with their own hands and worship it, whether it's business, family, whatever. Okay? You want to remember your father. Okay. Verse 9. And the mean man boweth down, and the great man humbleth himself. Therefore, forgive them not. In other words, they just degradation from one to the other. Verse 10. Enter into the rock, and hide thee in the dust for fear of the Lord, and for the glory of his majesty. What is your rock? What rock are you on? Will it shake? I hope your rock is Christ. And you get on that rock and you stay on it. That's the true Christ. Because there's a great shaking coming. And if you're on that rock, it can't be shaken and you're in good shape. That means you are loaded and locked in your mind with the truth. The Antichrist is not going to deceive you. The men from the East are not going to deceive you. False teachings are not going to deceive you. Why? Because you have the seal of God in your forehead, which simply means His Word, the working knowledge of that Word. And nobody can fool you. Nobody can lead you astray. Verse 11, the lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughty of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. There's your word exalted, and we want to exalt Him. In what day is that? The Lord's day. Well, what is the Lord's day? Well, how long is a day with the Lord? Have you ever read 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 7 and 8? One day with the Lord is 1,000 years with man. We're talking about the millennium, the Lord's day. And in that day, He's going to be exalted, whether they like it or lump it. He will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And those that are blessed will be blessed, and those that aren't, we're going to try to teach them through that period. But that is the fact that He will be exalted, and you should exalt Him. Why? In all those times that you've been in dire trouble, it might have been in an automobile, and all of a sudden, zippo, everything just turned out fine, and you wonder, whoo, how did that happen? But He knows. He knows, okay? Or when you had an enemy that was just really on top of you and everything, and all of a sudden, boom, somebody interceded. It's Him. He knows. And I believe that with all my heart. I have experienced it. I know for a fact that the Father looks out for those that love Him. You can count on it. And well, some people, well, it's just a coincidence. Oh, really? Wow. Have it your way. It's all right with me. Okay. But Father's still on the throne. Thank God for that. And as long as He's on that throne, you can be blessed because you exalt Him. But He demands to be exalted. And that's a wonderful word in the Hebrew, salak. And it means He's not almost unreachable. It means that He's only He alone can sit in that position, okay, as the head. And that's why He's exalted. Why? Because He's our Father. He's not only our Father, He's the Father of all. There is no other. He's it. And that's exactly what that word exalted means. He's the top. And you want to keep Him there in your mind. He comes first in your life if you want His blessings. Okay? So there you have Him exalted. Verse 12. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon every one that is proud and lofty, and upon every one that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. There's a day of reckoning coming. Now, you know, many might say, well, that sounds like that's really going to be hard on some people. Hey, maybe it'll get their attention. You know, we've still got 1,000 years, and there'll be teaching there. It might be your old uncle, nobody's ever been able to do anything with, and he might get his chain pulled to where he says, "Whoa, praise God." Okay. You don't give up on anybody, okay, through that period, until that period of time is over, okay. But they are brought down. This is God's correcting hand, okay. And chastisement is a wonderful thing when you get out of line. Everybody has those moments. And God has a way of getting your attention. 13, and upon all the cedars of Lebanon that are high and lifted up, and upon the oaks of Bashan. What it's saying here is people that liken themselves to that in strength and power and might, okay? And upon all the high mountains, upon all the hills that are lifted up, all those nations that think they can go against our God and survive, they got a bad awakening coming, okay? But they're God's children, God loves them, and we've got the millennium. And upon every high tower and upon every fence wall, 16, and upon all the ships of Tarshish and upon all pleasant pictures, this is to say all commerce, okay? 17, and the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be made low, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. That's the day we look forward to. So you want to take some shortcuts if you want blessings. You don't want to wait till that day to exalt Him. You want to exalt Him today. He's your Father, and He loves you. He's your Heavenly Father, and He guides you. He's your Heavenly Father, and He loves you. But He does want that love returned. One more verse. And the idols He shall utterly abolish. During that millennium and that teaching, there won't be any false teaching there. There won't be any idols worship there. You know why? Because God and the elect that will be teaching through that time will make short work of anything that tries to go astray. That's what discipline is. And that's why discipline will be utilized in that 1,000-year period. To try to save as many souls as we can, to drag them right out of the very fire. You know, the fire doesn't bother us. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego documented that. The consuming fire, which is our Heavenly Father, Almighty God, spiritually speaking. They weren't singed in that fire. Why? Because Christ walked with them. Our rock was there. And our rock cared for them. You know, if you exalt Him, you can have the benefit of that today. In your heart, in your being, in your countenance, in your reflection of that light, in partaking of that living water that gives not only life to you, but life to the brethren when they sip and taste the beauty of His presence. What a beautiful thing to exalt Him. If anyone deserves exalting, it is not man. It's our Heavenly Father. Let's turn on to chapter 5 of this same book. Same subject. Verse 8, chapter 5, book of Isaiah. Verse 8 reads, "Woe unto them that join house to house, and lay field to field, till there is no place that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth." It is kind of sad, and being a country person myself, I abhor this joining till you can't even turn around. My granddad had a saying, I probably shouldn't say it. It was so crowded you couldn't cuss a cat there, you know. And I don't know what that meant exactly, except just that, you know, without somebody hearing it, you know. I guess that's an old Southern saying, but I've heard my granddad say it. But it is. What happens? Well, crooks are more abundant. Why? Because there's more people. And disease is more abundant. Why? Because it's easier to spread when you're all cooped up that way. So it's not our Father's way. Okay? He wants you to have a little breathing room where you can enjoy His nature and His way. Verse 9, in mine ears said the Lord of hosts, of a truth many houses shall be desolate, even great and fair, without inhabitant. And a lot of vacancies, a lot of repossessions, a lot of things going on. You want to exalt Him. You want to follow His way and His plan, and you don't get in those kind of situations, okay? He shows and points the way to keep you out of those kind of messes. Verse 10, yea, 10 acres of vineyard shall yield one bath, and the seed of an homer shall yield an ephah. In other words, you won't even get a tenth of what you plant back, okay? And you know something? You want to stop and think about that and think, well, I don't know much about agriculture. Well, you probably should learn a little something about it. Do you know, today when you do a day's labor, do you understand how much when you go down to the grocery store and buy an omer of something or a bunch of grapes, how much the fuel cost to get them to that grocery store? How much fuel it took to harvest them? And we got all this tax and everything else attached on to it. And you've got a whole day's labor, and by the time you fill your gas tank and buy the grapes, it's gone. Okay. It's gone. So don't ever think God's Scripture doesn't come to pass. Again, exalt Him and let Him bless what you have. And you can cut it. You can get it done. All right? You can make it. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, and that continue until night, till wine inflame them. What a waste, you know. What a waste to let the spirits from the bottle enter your mind instead of the Spirit of Almighty God. This is not talking about a sociable drink in the evening when your work is all done and everything. This is talking about somebody that starts early and never quits, okay? That's what strong drink always is. It doesn't matter whether it's wine, hard stuff, or what. It's when you take a gallon instead of a sip. Okay. 12. And the harp and the vial, the tabret and the pipe and wine are in their feast, but they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of His hands. They don't even stop and think why God blesses some people. They don't stop and think why some people are real happy. They don't stop and think why some people are, you know, fairly healthy, going by God's health laws, doing things God's way. They just don't stop and think. And unfortunately, they miss a lot because they do not put our Father where He should be on that throne, exalting Him in their life, paying respect, and letting being a reflection of that light whereby they bring His peace and His solemnity into the minds of people, whereby they can find that peace of mind. Peace of mind is a wonderful thing. You find it right here. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. Okay. 13. Therefore, my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. And so it is that when you miss out on those wonderful things in life, that it can dry up. 14, therefore hell hath engulfed herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. It's all set for them, you know. But you know something? A lot of people say, well, I really feel sorry for them. No, it's their choice. Okay. It's their choice. Okay. You have a choice. It's according to you write your, what happens to you on judgment day, you're it. Okay? It's your ship, you're sailing it. Well, they told me. It doesn't matter what they tell you. What did God tell you? You go by what He says in this word. And you will never end up on the rocks. And even if you do, He'll pull you off if you're doing it for good reasons, okay? And 15, and the mean man shall be brought down, and the mighty man shall be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty shall be humbled. 16, but the Lord of hosts shall be exalted in judgment, and God that is holy shall be sanctified in righteousness. Your choice. That's where you want to be. But you don't have to wait till the millennium to have that. All you have to do is exalt Him today. Love Him. Well, what does that mean? Tell Him you love Him. That's what He wants from you. Isn't that difficult? I don't know. Have you ever loved somebody? I feel sorry for you if you haven't. But He loves you. So let Him know. Just get off to yourself if you have to, if it embarrasses you, and let Him know, Father, I love you. That exalts Him. That makes His day. He has feelings just like an earthly father does. And when you talk to Him, it touches Him. And He loves you for that. And don't think He's not going to put His wing over you to protect you and guide you and bless you. 17 to complete. Then shall the lambs feed after their manner, and the waste places of the fat one shall strangers eat. One more verse, because this is an interesting one. Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin as it were with a cart. In other words, it seems like there's some people that can't sin enough themselves that they just drag a rope of sins around behind them, loading them up in a cart to take them with them. Just sin can't fall out the door without falling into it. Okay. Just a life of 100% wrong. It's so much better to be fed and to know you're one of His lambs or sheep. And He feeds you. What does He feed you? Knowledge and wisdom that keeps you out of trouble. Wisdom that makes you successful. Wisdom that makes you better at your position perhaps than maybe somebody else, to where you're elevated because you exalt Him. Because He blesses you. God loves His own. So, and He will feed you. But beware of those that drag trouble along. I mean, they can't just have enough on them. They got to have a rope to drag it around with them. I hope you've never met somebody like that. Okay. Because they are trouble going somewhere to happen and always do. Okay. Exalt Him. It is one of His demands, and whether you like it or lump it, He's going to be exalted. And I love Him for that. Chapter 12, if you would, please. Same book. Chapter 12 is a short little old chapter, just full of meat. Wonderful little chapter. Verse 1 reads, and in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise Thee. Thou that wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. That's a good position to be in. Okay, it sure is. Well, how do you derive at that position? Repent. Talk to Him. Let Him know you're sorry. Repent. He'll put His arm around you and say, I love you. Don't let it happen again. He may not say it just like that, but you'll know, because the next time you do it, He'll thump your gourd harder than before. Okay. Pretty soon, maybe you'll wake up and say, I think I believe. And you should. Okay. Behold, God is my salvation. There is no other. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord, Yahweh, may I pronounce it, is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. He's our everything. That's why you can exalt Him without any problem. Because He takes care of business. Do you know something? He takes care of you. Do you know why? Because He loves you. He's a father you can truly be proud of. He's a father that you can hang on to. And do you understand that your Heavenly Father owns everything? You're His child. That's one of the reasons you can exalt Him, that He'll even use you to help His other children. I said, even you. Think about it. Verse 3, therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. Deep wells and that pure water that stays with you forever. Do you know where, what well you draw your water from? From Him. He's the living water, and this word is the living word is Christ. Okay. That's, He is in this book. Okay. It is His teachings. It is His way. And when you drink and sup of that water, it gives you that wisdom and knowledge that will sustain you and your family. And in that day shall you say, praise the Lord, call upon His name, declare His goings among the people, make mention that His name is exalted. And you want to exalt His sacred name, Yahweh, the Heavenly Father, Almighty God, our Father. His name should be exalted. His name should be taught. His name should be praised. And you want, you know, don't ever forget to thank Him. Well, I don't know if I have anything to thank Him for. Well, you were breathing air today, weren't you? That's oxygen. Where do you think it came from? He created it. He created it for you. Thank Him for it, if that's all you got. Sing unto the Lord, for He hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth and everywhere. Truth abounds. Verse 6, cry out and shout, and thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. That is the time clock right there. Did you catch it? It said, in the midst of thee. He's spiritually with us now, but when He actually dwells in the midst of us, we're in the millennium for the Savior, and the full Godhead de jure on the last day of that millennium, when God comes as judge of judge and a ruler supreme, exalt Him, and He will always, I do mean always, bless you. Go with me now to chapter, I believe I'm going to go to chapter 30. Just a few short verses here in chapter 30. Let's pick it up with verse 18, if we may. Verse 18 of chapter 30, book of Isaiah, exalt your father. And verse 18 reads, and therefore will the Lord wait, that He may be gracious unto you. And therefore will He be exalted. He's going to be, my friend, exalted, that He may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are all they that wait for Him. Do you understand that? You have to exalt Him before His gracious blessings and kindness comes on you. Well, because He's your Father, and He deserves it. You have to give Him a little bit of attention. Some people go through life and they won't even talk to God maybe once a year. Do you know something? Is it any surprise He doesn't give them anything once a year? If you had an earthly father and you never went around Him for a year, He wouldn't give you anything either. Okay? He might give you what for, you know, when He did see you, okay, how He misses you and so forth. Well, so does our Father. Okay? Don't ever underestimate that, but it's exalting Him comes with blessings, okay? For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When He shall hear it, He will answer thee. He hears you today. Well, how do I know? You better know. He hears you. And He will answer you when it's good for you, okay? You have to love Him enough to know He knows what tomorrow brings, so leave it in His hands after you pray. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner, withdrawn ye more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers. In other words, He's the master teacher. Christ himself is, and he will be here in that day. 21, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. God takes care of his own. That's his promise. When you what? Back to verse 18. What was the requirement? What was the condition? Exalt him. That means love him and let him know. And he will. I believe that, my friends, with all my heart, that when you get in trouble and don't know which way to go, he'll nudge you. I believe that if you're one of his elect. Otherwise, hey, if you want to plow strange fields, he'll let you plow that too. Whatever route you snag on, it's your baby. Okay. So much better to ride with him. So much better to have his blessings. One more chapter to complete. Let's go with 31. 33. Chapter 33, verse 1. Woe to thee that spoilest, and thou wast not spoiled, and dealest treacherously, and they dealt not treacherously with thee. When thou shalt cease to spoil, thou shalt be spoiled, and when thou shalt make an end to deal treacherously, they shall deal treacherously with thee. In other words, this kind of is a play on the Assyrian, but what it means is, a person that's never been corrected, God's going to get around to it. Okay, God's going to straighten things out. O Lord, be gracious unto us. We have waited for thee. Be thou their arm, our arm, say, every morning our salvation, also in the time of trouble. You be our strong arm. Let him know that, won't you, in your life? Tell him. Let him know. At the noise of the tumult, the people fled. At the lifting up of thyself, the nations were scattered. And your spoil shall be gathered like the gathering of the caterpillar, and the running to and fro of locusts shall he run upon them. In other words, that time of the locust is coming. In this case, it was the Assyrian army. In the end times, we have the Antichrist and his locust army, as it's written in Revelation chapter 9. They're not locusts, they're people. Okay. The Lord is exalted. You got that? Don't read over it. The Lord is exalted, for he dwelleth on high. He hath filled Zion with judgment and righteousness. Don't ever forget that. It's going to be made right. And wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times, and strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. Listen to me. If you don't have wisdom from God's word, all wisdom comes from God. Or you can be street smart, and maybe you should be. Let you know which street to go down and which not. But street smarts don't cut it with God. Okay. You've got to have wisdom to know what tomorrow brings, whereby you can plan your life accordingly and get way, way ahead of the game, financially and otherwise. Did you hear what I said? Wisdom and knowledge is precious. It makes the difference of being in the cold, being in the heat, or having it just right. Okay. Is knowing your Father, exalting him, and gaining his wisdom, whereby you can practice that wisdom daily. 7, behold, their valiant ones shall cry without. The ambassadors of peace shall weep bitterly. The highway is a lie waste. The wayfaring man ceaseth. He that hath broken the covenant, he hath despised the cities. He regardeth no man. Peace, 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 they'll cry. You know what? There won't be any peace. You've got peace movements all over the world at this time, and yet we have bitter bombings. The earth mourneth and languisheth. Lebanon is ashamed and hewn down. Sharon is like a wilderness, and Bashan and Carmel shake off their fruits. These are all joined to Palestine. Okay. And do you know what's happening there today? Okay. It shouldn't be any surprise to you. Now will I rise, saith the Lord, now will I be exalted, and he will be. Now will I lift up myself, ye shall conceive chaff, ye shall bring forth stubble, your breath as fire shall devour you. If you're wicked, guess what? You're supposed to be born from above, not born again. And if you, and all you're going to bear is emptiness, okay, is what he's saying. Okay? You want to be born from above, a gift of God to the earth, to guide people, to lead people, to direct people with the Holy Spirit. And the people shall be as the burnings of lime, as thorns cut up shall they be burned in the fire. Now I'm going to tell you something. A lot of people get real nervous about here. What kind of fire are you talking about? Do you know that God is a consuming fire? Okay. But what does His Holy Spirit do to you? It warms your heart. You feel real good when He touches you. But for the evil, it's a burning fire. And that's the way He blots people out, quite frankly, when they don't make the cut at the end of the millennium. They're just not with us anymore. That's why there will be no tears in heaven. You won't even remember they existed. Okay. Hopefully, we'll cut a lot of those ropes that people drag sin around with them and get them to see the reflection of that light that God exalted brings forth. Hear ye that are far off what I have done, and ye that are near, acknowledge my might. This is God speaking. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness hath surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? I can tell you, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego walked and enjoyed the fiery furnace, 7 times hotter, as an example to you today, that God loves you, He's not angry at you, and you've got nothing to worry about. Okay? So His fire does not hurt you. His fire warms you. He is that light, and that fire lightens you, whereby you're a blessing to all you come in contact with, basically. Okay? And so it is. Our Father is such a precious one. 15, he that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of the oppressions, that shaketh his hand from holding of bribes. You can't bribe a good man. He'll tell you to take it and put it somewhere. Okay? You cannot bribe an honest man. That stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, that's to say bloodletting, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil. Doesn't want anything to do with it. This is why he can stand the heat. Okay. He shall dwell on high, his place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks, bread shall be given him, his waters shall be sure. What is your rock? Your rock is Christ. What is your bread? Christ's body. And who gives you the water, the living water, from the well of salvation? Christ does. To complete the lecture, verse 17, thine eyes shall see the King in his beauty. They shall behold the Lamb that is very far off, and yet at the same time you're there, spiritually speaking. Why? You're his child, and he loves you. Your Father loves you very much. He will be exalted. That when you exalt him, that means you love him. Talk to him. That gives him the attention that he wants. And you want me to give you a scripture that documents that? Hosea chapter 6, verse 6. I don't want your burnt offerings. I want your grace. I want your love. Okay. That's what he wants. That's why he created you, for his pleasure. And when you don't give him pleasure, guess what? You're not going to get any pleasure from him. You have to exalt him. And we should want to, for what he has given us, this beautiful world. And every time the space shuttle leaves and goes to that desolate, forsaken area, and we send a thing to Mars and other places, and you see them digging in that rancid-looking place, and you got the beauty here, and our livestock, and our crops, and our animals, our very beings, and the beautiful scenery. He made it for us. So you shouldn't find that much trouble exalting Him. Heavenly Father, thank You, Father, for the privilege of serving You. Father, we do exalt You, Father. You are our Father, Father, and we ask that all of these, each and every one of them, be a blessing to all they come in contact with. In Yeshua, Jesus' precious name, amen.